Let us pray. Dear Lord, help us to realize that you are our Father, and that you gave your Son to die on the cross, and he paid a price that was precious to you, and that we are your children, and that our inheritance should never be for sale. In Jesus' name, amen. I am a student of history. Ever since I was a little boy, I read stories of men like Benjamin Franklin, Thomas Jefferson, Jesus Christ, events like the fall of Jerusalem, the Civil War, and the Rwandan genocide, and other brutal events that occurred in history. And I have found through my study of the Bible that there is one constant in each event of history, and that constant is God himself. God is there unseen, but he is a watcher. He watches men and women in those scenes of history, and he is looking for men and women through whom he can show himself strong. And I believe that there is an opportunity of eternity, not an opportunity of a lifetime, but an opportunity of eternity that is within our grasp this morning, today, every day. And that opportunity is to be part of this group that is called the final generation, the group that actually vindicates God through their lives, through their actions, and sees Jesus come. Is it your desire to be part of that group this morning? Open your Bibles with me to 1 Kings chapter 21. 1 Kings chapter 21. I'd like us to look at this story and see some of the elements of character that are required in this group of that final generation. 1 Kings chapter 21. And it came to pass after these things that Naboth the Jezreelite had a vineyard which was in Jezreel, hard by the palace of Ahab, king of Samaria. We have two men who are introduced in this story. And this story actually took place. There are some people who say that the stories of the Bible are allegories, but that is not true. This story actually took place. We have Naboth. He has a vineyard, and he lives in Jezreel. So he's Naboth the Jezreelite. We have Ahab. He's the king of Samaria. And later on this chapter, it says that he's the king of Israel. Samaria was his capital. He is the king, and he has a palace. Ahab's palace is right next to Naboth's vineyard. So what does that make them? If you live next to somebody, what are they? Your neighbor, okay? Ahab came over to Naboth, and he said, I have an offer for you. And in verse 2 we read, give me thy vineyard, that I may have it for a garden of herbs, because it is near unto my house, and I will give thee for it a better vineyard than it, or if it seem good to thee, I will give thee the worth of it in money. Ahab came with a deal that seemed so logical and so fair, a win-win situation for both parties. He said, give me your vineyard, because I want it for a garden of herbs. And I will give you a vineyard better than it, or if you want, I'll give you the worth of it in money. Satan comes to God's children, and he comes with deals that are so logical and so fair on paper. But if we examine those deals by the light of God's word, they turn out to be scams. And Naboth, he examined the deal that Ahab was offering him, and he turned it down. We read in verse 3, the Lord forbid it me, Naboth said, that I should give the inheritance of my fathers unto thee. He refused Ahab based on a principle found in God's word. Let's look at that principle this morning. Let's turn to Leviticus chapter 25, verse 23. Leviticus chapter 25, verse 23. The Bible says, the land shall not be sold forever, for the land is, finish it for me, mine. For ye are strangers and sojourners with me. The key point in this verse is that the land is mine. This is the Lord speaking. The land is his. and they were sojourners with him in that land. Even though they were in the land of promise, the land was his. What happened was when the children of Israel walked into Canaan, they were given land. Each tribe was given a plot of land. And that plot of land was subdivided into smaller plots and given out to families. And each family was supposed to have that land. And then from that time on, the real estate laws were simple. This chapter contains the real estate laws of Israel. It was very simple. That land had to stay within the family. If a person got poor and he had to sell it, that person who bought it had to return the land to that man's family at the year of Jubilee, whether it was the next year or whether it was in 49 years, he had to return that land back to him. So the land would stay in the family, each family, from generation to generation. And the Lord specifically said over here that the land shall not be sold forever, or in my margin it says in perpetuity. The land, when you do deals for the land, you cannot sell it and transfer your ownership to somebody else. The land is not yours to own, it is the Lord's. You are just, when you transfer ownership like that, when you make a deal, it is, you're paying for the crops. The Lord specifically said that the land cannot be sold. Ahab came to Naboth with an offer. And that offer was, I will give you a vineyard that is better than it, or I will give the worth of it in money. He was not promising that that land would be returned back to Naboth. And so based on God's word, Naboth turned him down. Question for you. Do you own property? Do you live in an apartment? Is that place where you live yours, or is it the Lord's? Do you drive a car? Does the odometer testify to the fact that most of the errands, all of the errands made in that car are for you? Or is it some of them, at least some of them, for the Lord? The New Testament takes this principle to a higher level. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. It starts with a question. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Paul's reasoning is simple. He says that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost because you were bought with a price. And that price would cost Jesus his life on the cross. And because of that, your body, your mind, everything you are, everything you will be, is God's. Not only your property, not only your car, and everything you own materially, but also your body, your person. Let's go to Romans chapter 8, verse 14, and pick up another line of reasoning in Paul's writings. Romans chapter 8, verse 14. Romans chapter 8, verse 14, we read, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, then we may also be glorified together." Paul's reasoning is simple and clear. If you are born of the Spirit, you are born again. Remember, Jesus said you cannot be born, you have to be born again, and you have to be born by the Spirit and of water. And if you are born again, then the Spirit testifies that you are a child of God. And if you are a child of God, then God is your Father. And if God is your Father, then you are an heir of God. And if you're an heir of God, you are joint heirs with Christ. And if you suffer with Christ, you will be able to be glorified with him as well. Naboth turned down Ahab based on a principle in God's word. Ahab turned and left. I know the Asian people. I have lived in Asia for 17 years, and I am an Asian myself. Asian people are interesting. They know what's going on in your family, whether or not they're there. If a man marries a wife and he doesn't have a child, they know exactly who the problem is with. Okay? I am sure that when Naboth refused Ahab and Ahab walked away, his friends came over and said, "Naboth, you are a fool for not giving your land over to that man. Do you know what kind of man he is? Do you know what kind of wife he's married to? Run after his chariot and tell him you changed your mind." But I'm sure if they said that, Naboth would have said to them, "I am basing my principles on the word of God. My inheritance is not for sale." Ahab came to his house. The Bible says in verse 4, 1 Kings chapter 21, verse 4, "He came into his house heavy and displeased." Wives have a way of knowing when something is wrong with their husband. If a husband doesn't want to cuddle, then there's something wrong. But if a husband doesn't want to eat, then there's something really wrong. Am I right? Yes, I'm right. The Bible says in verse 4, "And he laid him down upon his bed and turned away his face," this is Ahab, "and would eat no bread." Verse 5, "But Jezebel his wife came to him and said unto him, Why is thy spirit so sad that thou eatest no bread? And he said unto her, Because I spake unto Naboth the Jezreelite," and he told her the whole story. Every time a child of God decides to say that God is my father, and I am going to study his word to find out the will for my life, somebody, and this person, this child of God, decides to follow God in every principle that is found in his word, somebody always gets offended. Turn to Daniel chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6, verse 5. Daniel chapter 6, verse 5, "Then said these men, We shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God." If you look at verse 3, we find that Daniel had an excellent spirit in him. He realized that he was a child of God. He realized that everything he had materially was because of God. He realized that his body was God's. And so he decided to be faithful in everything he did for God. And because he was faithful, he was promoted. And the king thought to promote him and make him the vice president of his realm. And because of that, the other men around him wanted to tear him down. They were upset at Daniel's life. And so they made an investigation into his traffic records. They made an investigation into his financial records. But they could find no error, no fault in Daniel, because he was faithful. And so they said, the only way that we can get to Daniel is by messing up his relationship with his God. Because we know if we mess up his relationship with God and he falls and he decides not to have any relationship with God, he will become like us and he will become fraudulent. But if he does not mess up his relationship with God and he is faithful, then he will die and we will get our way. Either way, we will get our way. Every time a child of God decides to follow God's principles, somebody gets offended. And what's interesting also is that these people that get offended, they have absolutely no power to do anything to that child of God. They have to go and beg of somebody else to get somebody else's power to do something to that child of God. Jezebel is introduced in the story. Who is Jezebel? She is the wife of Ahab. Ahab is the king of Samaria who owns a palace. And she is the queen of Israel, but she has no authority of herself. But she says in verse 7, "I will give thee the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite." I will give thee the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite. Verse 8, she has no authority. "So she wrote letters in Ahab's name and sealed them with his seal and sent the letters unto the elders and the nobles that were in his city dwelling with Naboth." Spirit of prophecy says that Jezebel was so incensed that somebody had the nerve to reject her husband for something he wanted, that she wanted to eliminate whoever that was. It didn't matter whether they were following God's word or not. She wanted to eliminate them. And so she said, I will get thee the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite. She sent those letters. I checked with the Hebrew for elders and nobles. I found out that the term elder, the title, means men who are aged, men who are of religion, men who are known for their piety, the religious leaders of the town, of the city. I also looked up the word for nobles, civic leaders, the princes of the city, men who are the city fathers. So she sent letters to the religious leaders, and she sent letters to the city leaders, and the letter said this: proclaim a fast, and set Naboth on high among the people, and have two worthless fellows bring charges. Charge number one, that he blasphemed God. Charge number two, that he spoke against the king. There is another man in the New Testament who rode a donkey into a city, and the religious leaders of his day brought two charges. Charge number one, that he made himself God. And charge number two, he spoke against the king, who was Caesar at the time, and he said, do not pay taxes to Caesar. In both stories, in both cases, the charges were false. Do you think Naboth connected the dots? Of all the cities in Israel, they chose his city to proclaim a fast. Of all the people in the city, they chose him to raise him on high among the people. Do you think Naboth's friends came over to him and said, now is the time to write that letter and tell Ahab that your property is for free? If they did so, I am sure that Naboth said, I am standing on God's word. God is my father. I am a sojourner with him through this land, through this time through this earth. My inheritance is not for sale. Nowhere in the spirit of prophecy do we find, or in the Bible, do we find that Naboth wrote that letter, or asked Ahab to take that property, or pleaded for his life. They had the fast. They set Naboth on high among the people. The two worthless fellows came and sat down beside him, and they brought forth their charges. The sentence was that Naboth be stoned till death. Stoning takes a while. It takes a long time. It's not like a bullet where you fired it from the gun, and if you're close enough, you don't even hear the gunshot, you're dead. Stoning takes a while. They carried him outside the city. Do you think as they were carrying him out the city, did he look up to God in heaven, and did he say, Lord, I am following your word. I am basing my life on the principles of God's word. I have a wife and children. Why is this happening to me? Or do you think he said, Lord, I know exactly why they're doing this to me. I know exactly why. Give me the strength to bear the test. My inheritance is not for sale. Naboth went there outside the city, and he was stoned. Stoned by men who did business with him. Stoned by men who grew up with him and went to school with him. Stoned by people who knew him by his first name. Often when you decide to follow God's principles, the people who hurt you the most are people in your family, people at your workplace, people who know you personally, who have grown up with you all your life. They say to you things like, why can't you be like you used to be? Why are you causing so much trouble? These are the people who hurt you the most. When people pick up stones, and those stones fly at you, stones of gossip, slander, do you pick up those stones and hurl them back as hard as you can? Or do you say, I'm a child of God, God is my father. My inheritance is not for sale. You're sitting on a couch at that woman's house, and that woman leans over to you and she says, baby, this conversation needs more action. Do you get up and do you walk to her bedroom and say, let's get this party started? Or do you say, woman, the only action you're going to see is me walking out of this house. My inheritance is not for sale. When they tie you to the stake of ridicule, and they laugh at you and they call you old-fashioned, do you retort back at them angrily, or do you say, I will not stoop to your level, I will stay quiet because Jesus did. My inheritance is not for sale. When you're sitting at your office desk and you turn on your computer and there's a memo over there, there's an email over there from a colleague who wrote to your boss, and it has more gaps in truth than the Left Behind series. Do you say to them, do you write back an email and do you say, you tell them the truth and you tell your boss exactly what happened? Or do you say, my reputation is of God, he will take care of it, I will be faithful in my work, my inheritance is not for sale, I will not stoop to those to that type of politics. God did not interpose to save Naboth that day. Because he knew that Naboth would stand and take those stones. He knew that Naboth would stand on his word, no matter what happened to him. He would take those stones. Naboth died that day. And the city fathers sent a letter. It had one line. Naboth is dead. The vineyard is yours. Jezebel relayed the news to Ahab. And Ahab got into his chariot and went over to possess the vineyard. I can picture him walking over there with Jehu, his chief petty officer. Jehu, I would like to have some oregano over here, some basil over there, some carrots right here. And he turns around the grove and he turns around the corner and he says, you know, Jezebel wants me to eat broccoli. Let's have a small broccoli place over here. And he walks some more, and then this man steps outside of the bushes. And he says, hast thou found me, O mine enemy? The man that steps out is Elijah. His very presence convicts Ahab of his sin. And Elijah says, hast thou murdered and taken possession? In the place, because thou hast sold thyself to work evil before the Lord, sold yourself to do evil before the Lord, in the place where dogs lick Naboth's blood, shall dogs lick your blood. The Lord also spoke concerning Jezebel, that dogs will eat Jezebel by the wall of Jezreel. It didn't matter to Elijah whether he was talking to a peasant or whether he was talking to the king. His message was from God, and he was going to deliver it with the same strength, the same clarity. He would not change his message. The greatest want in this world is the want of men and women. Men who will not be bought or sold like Naboth. Men who will, in their inmost souls, be true and honest like Joseph. Men who will call sin by their right name, by its right name, like Elijah. Men whose conscience is as true to duty as a needle to the pole, like John Burden, after whom this hall is named. Men who will stand for truth, who will stand for the right, though the heavens fall, like Daniel. God is looking for men and women today who, through whom he can show himself strong, through whom he can vindicate his name, that his righteousness is pure, and that his government is just. The opportunity for us today is an opportunity of eternity. If it passes us, it will go to somebody else. And I would hate to have to ask God, why was it not my generation? The chance to be part of the final generation lies with you and me. We all have to do it together. It takes each one of us realizing that we are children of God, that God is our Father. Realizing that Jesus paid the price for us on the cross and that we are joint heirs with him if we suffer with him. And that when Satan comes to us with those deals that seem so logical and so fair on paper, we examine it through the light of God's word and we find them out to be scams and we find out the originator of those deals is Satan. We say to him, Satan, hell is waiting for you, but heaven is waiting for me. I will not compromise my message. I will not dilute my message. I am called to witness through my works, through my speech, through my thoughts, through my motives, that God is fair and that God is just. I will not compromise. My inheritance is not for sale.